Hello and welcome to Lotus Radio's in-depth PSA program here on a Sunday morning. It is 7:30-ish, and we're going to get this thing started. This is Ian Sorensen, your host. And for my first interview, I have Claire Berry from the Polygrarian Institute. Claire, how's it going?
Hey, it's pretty good, Ian. Good morning.
Good morning. And Polygrarian Institute, it's very sophisticated, very long name. I had to look it up numerous times. But why don't you tell us just a quick overview of what you do? Maybe not even quick. Go through the ins and outs of what your goal is with this organization.
Okay, well, the Polygrarian Institute stands for poly, which is multi, and grarian, which is farming. So our original idea was going to be to have small farms in people's front yards and to use that as a CSA or to help those without the financial ability to buy produce, to give that to them at a cost-effective amount for them.
Oh, okay.
But here in Reno, we didn't get enough interest, so now we're more focusing on a larger farm, and it's still going to be teaching people how to farm themselves. And the idea is going to be that we'll have some students that are going to devote a two-year period, and during that 2 years, they will learn the ins and outs of farming from beginning to end, from paperwork to planting seeds. So they'll know grant writing, they'll know how to set up an entire year's worth of planting seeds and doing their own seedlings, how to harden off your plants, how to work with the ecosystem so that all the plants will take care of themselves pretty much.
Okay.
So it'll be companion planting. It'll be everything you need to know about planting.
All right. So it's actually a full-on kind of educational course for people. Is it for just anyone to join and get involved, or is it involved with the university? What is the kind of partnership?
It's open to anybody that wants to join, but you know you have to put in those 2 years.
Yeah.
There will be a cost involved just so that we know that you're devoted
getting
to the
invested
program.
In it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
But we're hoping to run a CSA out of this farm that we just signed a contract with Parks and Rec with.
Oh, okay. CSA, I want to make sure we get all the terms right in my head. What does that say?
It's a community service agriculture.
Okay.
So that would be a bag of groceries going out once a week. And there will be memberships involved with that. So it won't just be a walk-up, willy-nilly kind of thing. You have to be a member.
Yeah.
And you have to have a set time when you're going to pick up that produce from the farm.
Gotcha. So you went from these ideas of really small farms and backyards to this one large farm.
Yes, one large farm where this would be our...
Home base, I guess?
That's our home base.
Yeah.
So it's a 5-acre parcel. And from there, whichever students graduate from the program, we'd be working with the last year with Parks and Rec to get them their next spot.
Oh, okay.
So, like, they'd go out to that Ribeiro Park on Neal Road, which is a really underserviced community. There's no grocery stores around.
Yeah.
And there's large parcels over there that they can grow a farm and serve that community directly.
Gotcha. Okay, so you already have a spot picked out for that large farm, or has it already been established?
Our home base is established at the corner of Mayberry and McCarran.
Oh, okay.
There's 30 acres there, and Parks and Rec has given us 5 acres.
Oh, beautiful. Well, that's cool to really have a partnership with a governmental agency, so you actually have more stability, I think, that way.
Yeah,
you know?
That was a years-long process. Was starting with Jeff Bryant, he opened up that conversation.
Oh, okay.
He was the originator of Urban Roots, and then
I've heard of them.
He expanded, and he wanted to start this Polygrarian Institute. He has since taken over Walker Basin, so now he is on the board, and he's still involved, but he's given it over to a group of 5 of us that are working really hard to make this program move ahead.
Gotcha. And how did you get involved with this in the first place? What is this where your passion lies, I would imagine?
This is where my passion lies. I did, I was a farm manager for City Green Gardens for 3 years.
Okay.
So I helped him triple his business, putting up hoop houses and leasing neighbors' properties because he only had a 0.63-acre farm and half of that was put towards his... flowers and stuff, his wife's stuff.
Oh, okay.
So it was really, really small.
Yeah. So you basically helped expand it and get a lot of a lot of use out of it.
A lot of use out of it, yes.
All right, cool. So you just, what is your education actually as far as this goes? Did you just kind of fall into it and you didn't really need an education? You just learned on your own or?
Well, my mom always had a garden.
Okay.
So that was where I learned how to plant the seeds and how to do things. And when I went to City Green Gardens, I expanded my knowledge and working with a larger farm system and seeing how a market farm actually can produce and be financially stable.
Gotcha. And as far as farming is concerned, how do you think it's changed? Has it changed dramatically over the past 5-10 years that you've seen, or is it kind of the same system? Has it been consistent?
I believe that farming went into more of a monocropping, and it was easier for farmers to make their money that way.
And meaning you're planting one thing.
You're planting one thing.
Yeah.
And you're not rotating. And it was killing all our soils, all our ecosystems. And to see these small farmers come back and do more of a market garden and rotating their crops and trying to be a regenerative farmer and give back to what they're taking as an organic farmer also.
Okay. Well,
it's very different.
Yeah, it's very different. And on that subject of monocropping, are there particular crops that just take everything out of the soil and don't really give back?
Corn and soy.
Corn and soy are the big ones. So it is a good idea to revolve kind of going from one crop to the other just to keep kind of feeding back into the earth.
It's necessary to keep a well-balanced ecosystem in your farm, to keep the good insects and the bad insects. Just having good insects means that there's nothing there because they have nothing to eat. So they leave and you have nothing but barren soil. So you have to put all these chemicals back in to make your plants grow. And as a regenerative farmer, you're going to do a companion planting, which puts the nitrogen back in with the plants and all their root systems.
Okay. Well, God, you know a lot about this stuff, which I imagine you would since I have you in the studio.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah. This is, again, in case people are just joining us, this is Claire Berry with the Polygrarian Institute. And actually speaking, we were talking about the ecosystem earlier. We are in a desert.
We are.
So is there a particular, skills one would have to have or things to keep in mind when they're planting in this kind of ecosystem?
You really have to take notice of what crops are going in, if it's a cool season crop or a hot season crop, because we do get so hot and a lot of stuff will perish if it's not in the right heat element.
Yeah.
You're going to do a lot of shading on all your plants, no matter what they are. As it gets hotter, hopefully you have a tree around and it helps with the afternoon shade or the morning shade, gets them a little bit of rest.
Right.
But for the most part, we can do a lot of stuff here, such as head lettuces and a leaf lettuce. And during the summer, you always have your carrots. And there's many, many crops that you can actually grow here that a lot of people don't realize until you get involved in a farm.
Gotcha. So as far, and especially being in Reno as we are in the surrounding areas, the temperature fluctuations are crazy. So is there any way to account for that as well? I mean, one day it's 65, the next day it's 90. You
have to watch.
You just need to keep an eye out every day.
You have to look at that weather forecast and see what's coming up so you can properly prepare.
Gotcha. And how would you prepare if it was suddenly going to be really cold?
Really cold? Well, anything under freezing. The only thing that's going to survive is maybe some lettuce and some spinach and kales. Your very cold winter crops. And you put a cover on it.
Yeah, that's
like a little blanket and a hoop. And you've seen those all over town,
I'm sure. Yeah,
totally
now. Have.
It's a new exciting thing to see people growing themselves.
Gotcha. So you got these you got a big farm established, you got your home base. Is it your goal to try to get back to having people do their smaller backyard kind of farming?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that would be our goal. So that people can take care of themselves.
Yeah.
And not we have to rely on all our produce shipping in from Mexico or I've seen stuff coming from China, Australia, and the people, when you think about organic, you also have to think about how the organic produce got here,
mm-hmm.
how much fossil fuels it used. So it really takes away from the organicness of what you're
eating. Yeah, I mean, even inherently, if the crop itself is what is made organically, you still got to ship it.
You still have to ship it. So the closer your produce comes, the more organic it will actually be.
Gotcha. Okay, so Polygrarian Institute, how do people find out more about you if they want to go online or somewhere? Or do you have your home base, obviously, but is there an office people can go to?
We are online. We are at the www.polyagrarianinstitute.org. It's really long. P-O-L-Y, agrarian.
Okay.
So you can go there. You can find out some information about us. We do have a Facebook page. We are working on our Instagram right now. Everything else is going to be up and running. I know we have a Twitter. I'm not sure if it's really active, but it's there.
It's same with ours. We're a little slow on ours as well. So you said you have what? You're one of five people working on this?
Yes.
So are you looking for new people to join your team, or are you just focused on kind of getting a foothold before you add more personnel, so to speak?
We would love for this to grow into a community-based system, to have people give ideas from everywhere, because nobody knows everything.
True.
And it always helps to have some new input. We are currently in our fundraising stage. So until we are fully established and we have the farm running, we are looking for group members or council members, per se.
Okay. Okay, so are you looking for volunteers, donations, I guess all or both?
Both volunteers and donations, and we're always looking for new board members. Currently, we have just a few, and we would love to have at least eight.
At least eight. Okay, well, hopefully we can get to you that goal. Anything else you want to add before we start to conclude the interview?
Go farm.
Go farm. Yeah, keep it insular, keep it local. I think that's an excellent idea. Let's feed ourselves.
Absolutely. That's a great idea.
Beautiful. So polygrarianinstitute.org is where people can go to find out more about you.
Thank you, Ian.
You're very welcome.